I'm Carol Woltring. I direct the Center for Health Leadership and Practice in the Public Health Institute in Oakland, California. And I've been doing leadership development since 1991 when I designed and began the National Public Health Leadership Institute with CDC support. And currently, I am involved in leadership development in three different venues. One is the National Public Health Leadership Institute with the University of North Carolina. And one is what I'll be reporting on today, the California-Hawaii Regional Public Health Leadership Institute, which we have just begun to kind of split into two. There's going to be a California Public Health Leadership Institute and a Hawaii Public Health Leadership Institute beginning this spring. But this is the second session that I've done, and I had planned on this being a roundtable discussion because I really wanted to talk in a more interactive way about what we're finding to be the core practices within local governmental public health in particular that are most important to have in place if you're really going to begin doing work on addressing social determinants of health and thereby improving health equity. And I can see now what the thread is between all of these very different presentations. I think they were looking for something where there were some findings. We'd done some research, and we're all doing research about different things. And I would say that my research is much more qualitative at this point than it is, or evocative than it is, significantly evidential, and I'll get into a model we're using to take a look at how we evaluate the results of our institute. I have to say, too, that I'm in the middle of the second year, and we've learned so much after one full year of work that I really wanted to share what we've learned and where we're going, because we're evolving very quickly. So let me just frame it that way. I also have no personal or financial relationship with commercial interests relevant to my presentation, but I don't have a slide about it. Okay, my objectives for you are mostly that I get a chance to talk with you about the eight public health practices that we found out of a lot of foundation work in California called the Partnership for the Public's Health that are really necessary. As we studied health departments in collaboration with organizations that they said that they had to have in place and what they ended up doing, and I'll be describing those and then tell you a little bit about the movement in those areas in our as a result of our institute. And then if I was on a round table with you, I'd be working with you in discussion about really helping to formulate some strategies and talking with you about where your organization is, and then looking at strengths and weaknesses of various approaches. So we'll do the best we can in a more of a formal presentation. The Institute's mission, and we crafted this with a great deal of pain and agony, because every word was important. We're developing a statewide network of leaders and organizations that are with the commitment and the capacity, both of those words are very important, to improve health equity by addressing the social determinants of health. And we had a heck of a time 3 years ago. Now it's just spinning off everybody's tongues, you know, all these words. But we finally figured out we wanted to improve health equity by how, you know, by addressing the social determinants of health. But we really wanted to develop a network of leaders and organizations that were committed to it. So I'm going to do a lot of talking from this. This is our visual model of what we have become, because at first we were a year-long leadership institute, and now we've turned into a leadership collaborative. And it's my perspective that you never graduate from this collaborative, because this work is lifelong work, career-long work. So how we are articulating it now, because we're in year two, is that we're developing a external public domain portal for our work, because we're getting a lot of interest in what we're doing and discovering. So we have a venue in the upper right-hand corner in the Public Health Institute called Dialogue for Health. In fact, we do a lot of national webinars. So we're beginning to get a lot of information out nationally that way. Then this bigger bubble cluster here, we're in year two now. And what we've done is we've targeted mostly local health departments in California so far. We had the state health department in year one, 38 people a year, nice size cohort. 10 people from Hawaii that were in the state the State Health Department, and then in community clinic networks in the islands. So we had a nice public private partnership there. California, we had state and local, and we had 11 local health departments and the State Health Department. In year two, we have five of the local health departments have sent in second year teams. I'll talk about the team nature in a minute. And we have 14 local health departments. So we have in 2 years, 19 local health departments in California engaged in this learning collaborative and the State Health Department. The year one people have moved to year two now, and I'll describe that in a minute. And we've started a new year one group in a sense. And everybody's coming together in a learning collaborative. And the way this year we made it a collaborative, we had two regional meetings in the state bringing together all the organizations among the years. And we'll start doing that in the future. And we've also got some one-day academies where we're trying to bring people in from other sectors to join with us in our work. So 38 people, state, local, governmental primarily. And I'll talk about a future direction in a minute. Our funding is from, I took a small seed grant. I'm part of the State and Regional Leadership Institute Network. Trisha's also as well. Michelle back here. I've got a couple of colleagues in the room. In addition to the National Leadership Institute, there is a whole network of state and regional leadership institutes. This is the Regional Leadership Institute. And we all take a very small seed grant from the Centers for Disease Control and then go out and raise money like crazy to make it work. And my funders, my true funders, are the California Endowment and Kaiser Permanente Community Benefits Program. So, but CDC's seed money was really critical and continues to be for all of us. Now, when we took a look at how we're going to evaluate it, just big picture, we use something that's quite good called EvaluLead. There's a web link for it. I've got slides up here and some information about our Leadership Institute, too. But it helps you think about evaluating the impact of something at an individual level, which oftentimes we do with training. And then in my case, I was really moving to organizational level because individuals came in teams of two or three people from an organization with sponsorship by the director. It was an organizational application because we're about org change, not just individual change. And then eventually, if you exist long enough, you're having an impact on your field or society or community. And then there are different ways of measuring in points of time changes and impacts. Some of it's episodic, like it happened once. Like, you know, one meeting happened with the Board of Supervisors and X happened. Developmental, a more significant series of training events or developmental events, moving structure, systems, policy development. And transformative, really, that's the peak. You know, when you've really got that policy out there that's having a major impact and it's really being implemented, and you can start measuring outcomes from transformative work. Evocative and evidential being see it, feel it, touch it, the training did occur, the people liked it, you know, how they rate the speakers, all that sort of thing. Evocative interviews. We did a lot of interviews at the end of our first year. So we brought in pre-posts and interviews and all this, trying to, after the first year, to figure out what have we accomplished? Have we achieved our goals? We have a variety of activities, 7 days total among three on-site retreats, kind of beginning, middle, end of the year. The regional meetings I talked about that bring together the multi-year cohorts. Some one-day leadership academies. We have a change project orientation, a lot of data out of the actual project work that came out of the organizations. Action learning coaching, I'm going to talk about that. And then, of course, with any executive program, busy people, budget cuts, no money for travel, no money for anything, you try to reduce the travel costs, and you do a lot of things distance. So we have a lot of webinars, and then we archive them on our online learning community, and we turn them into MP3 files, and you can download them on your iPod, and everybody can get trained. So the issue is we really widen the circle. Every time we have a learning activity, we widen the circle to as many people that can learn through our offerings in the Institute. Outcomes, looking at effective indicators of organizational change, again, in the practices I'm going to talk about, and then the organization's overall approach to understanding, you know, evidence of early understanding health equity and social determinants of health and what it means to their culture and their paradigm inside their organization, and then the fact that you can't do it alone, and so what's happening to deepen the organization's behavior in working in collaboration and partnership with other sectors and other health-related providers in the community. These are the 8 essential public health practices that we use as a framework for orienting people to projects and thinking about what other counties have done, and casework and product work coming out of the early adapter counties in California, I'd say. So the issue of leadership, top-level leadership support, they get it, they can communicate it, they can frame it, they can talk to politicians about it, they can encourage, you know, you just have to have that. So a lot of our institute work was related to people having sponsorship, and when they went back, people didn't have the language, and they really needed to get that framed correctly within the organization and time spent on that. Data, really critical. You can't talk about health equity unless you can frame it in real terms, in terms of what it really means on the ground in your community. And you've got to link place to health outcomes. Policy and advocacy. Policy, policy, policy. Everybody wants policy outcomes ultimately, but you can't start there. We found that it's more of a sophisticated tier 2 or 3 outcome from the work. Strategic planning comes in about tier 2. The first tiers of this work are getting your leadership on board, getting some data that you can articulate what the health equity and social determinants health issues are in your community, and then the workforce development, number 5, begins to get in there because people realize that staff have got to say, what does this mean to my job? What does this mean I do? Especially public health nurses. We're really going deep on nurses right now. Because it's a huge paradigm shift for their work. And then eventually, when you get that going, you get back into, so what are we stating as an organization about our strategic directions? And what are we doing about this? What words are we using? How are we communicating to others what we're about, what we believe in, what our values are? And then you say, okay, in order to achieve that strategic direction, what kind of systems and structures are we going to have? So you get into the systems and structures and how we organize and who's talking to who and how we communicate. And then you finally get around to, well, how are we going to pay for this, because nobody funds us to do this? So very quickly you get into creative, we call it creative financing strategies, and then you end up having to partner with communities. So indicators of all of this is what we're constantly looking at. When we asked them at the end, towards the end, the kinds of movement that they felt they'd had in just a year, really a year is not very much time to measure anything, a lot of movement in getting the organizational leadership piece together, which is huge, you can't do anything without it, getting some work on data, going, beginning to think about strategic planning, and even though they already had partnerships with other sectors, really other community organizations, thinking about partnering with other sectors. So we're talking about county planning and transportation and parks and recreations, you know, other sectors. Basically, in our change project outcomes, as a result of getting the reports and really thinking about what they'd done, we were able to document a lot of work in these particular areas. Partnerships with other sectors, what they looked like, both internal collaboration that was required in the organization to get there, how they organized to do it, workforce development, lots of work on workforce development. We actually developed a causal mapping guide to help. We were looking at always for communication tools, and so we worked with BARHI, the Bay Area Health Inequities Initiative, which is coming out with an organizational assessment tool and all this wonderful stuff. And we utilize everything everybody's developing out there and try to apply it. And so this this causal mapping guide that we've got, which is public domain, if you're interested in it, let me know, is an excellent communication and exercise tool to bring people into understanding, you know, through the why, really getting what social determinants of health are. Data, again, I talked about, you know, health equity data reports, such as just your typical morbidity and mortality, new ways of communicating it, framing it, linking it to policy, and then the organizational systems and structures. A lot of products came out of the first year, and we're using our online learning community to share them because they want to see what each other's doing, but also we're trying to get it out in the public domain. Geomaps, guides, survey instruments, a lot of innovative assessment work, but we're trying to get people to not go off and reinvent the wheel and utilize tools that are really out there that are very good. Here's a quote from one of our participants. And it was a heck of a year to launch the Institute because H1N1 hit and the financial crisis hit and people go, what are we doing something new right now? We can barely keep up with the core competencies of our organization. But they did, and they felt an alignment and a commitment to the learning community, and so they really worked hard to get their committed project work done. And Heidi and City of Pasadena Deputy Director, because we have top-level people involved in this, really commented at the end that if they hadn't been in the Institute, that they would not have made the kind of progress they did in building a leadership team and getting support for the work. And if they had not been in this learning collaborative, that they would have gone backwards, and they probably never would have regained the footing that they had. So the forward motion, even in a time of difficulty. So the point was, it's never a good time to start anything new. You might as well start now. And that's what we kept saying to people. It's never a good time to do anything new. We never have enough money. We never have enough staff. There's always a crisis. But, you know, at some point, people were saying it's so bad, we have to rethink how we're spending our resources, and we have to rethink how we're doing public health. We got to start. We got to really think about this very differently. We learned that these eight essential practices were a good framework. Frameworks are really important. When you get into complex, wicked problem stuff, you have to use frameworks. That people having something they have sponsored to do on the job, adult learning, very important. You just don't send somebody off to a training and they come back and they talk about it. They do something about it. Long-term change is best supported by a longer-term learning collaborative rather than something you go to and graduate from in a year. And so we're a community practice. That's what we're modeling. And that we learned that we needed to stay in touch with the organizations a little bit better. So we decided to start in year two to assign a coach to each organization and begin to embed in it more contact between four of us that are coaches with them and what they're really doing and what their challenges are, but to bring in the issue of action learning and to say not only what are you doing and what are your challenges, and we want to stay in contact with your work and all, but we want us as a learning, as a community of practice, to start reflecting on what we're learning, not just what we're doing. And so the benefits of action learning are really amazing, and it's not such a difficult thing to do, but we never stop. We measure, we count off goals and objectives, we look at budgets, and then we go on to the next thing. Did we do it or not? But the issue of what did we learn by what we accomplished, and the concept of harvesting learning is a really big part of our work now. And it's a very cutting-edge thing to do right now in adult learning and leadership development. So we've got that going, and it's really working, and they're loving it. And I'd be glad to answer any questions. Yes, John. I'm so glad you asked that, John. John was in the National Leadership Institute in the early 90s, and he's from Kentucky. A lot of good people from Kentucky. They're everywhere. We have decided, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about this, because we're evolving to another tier now. We are going to, in the beginning of the third year, invite leaders, because our local health departments, when they get out there, are realizing that the real leadership is leading between sectors and leading with community organizations. It's that leadership out there, the trans-sectoral leadership work, because you can't do it, this work alone. In fact, most of the policy work and most of the activities that relate to safe environment, transportation, plan, are all in other sectors. So this health and all policies things is really important. So we've decided to focus on what we call anchor institutions and communities that all have a vision of impacting and assuring population health. And that is FQHC leaders, so community clinic leaders, public health leaders, and governmental health system leaders, and nonprofit health system leaders, community benefit programs. So if you've got a community benefit program or legislation in your state, that's where nonprofit health systems have to give back some money because of their tax-exempt status back into the community. They have real assets to place in the community. FQHCs are getting drivers in them to do more population health work and health assessment work and, of course, public health there. So we're going to bring together those three. And I think that's going to move our work forward quite a bit. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Would you identify yourself, by the way? Okay.
And just because you mentioned the FQHCs, I was wondering if there's anything that you would recommend that FQHCs doing to kind of on the other end of the outreach and getting involved in projects like this.
Oh, that's a huge question. I don't have enough time. I think FQHCs and public health need to start talking.
Okay.
That's a good first step. With whatever forum you have in your state, and you got tons in Massachusetts. There's got to be some place where that whole public health and primary care link thing's going to happen. There's a whole bunch of work going on between HRSA and CDC to make it happen. It's going to start coming out. But so start getting your folks in alignment and get ready. It's a good thing. Okay, I'm going to let us go. Thank you.